Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission in the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a side salad of lore. I think that's what I used last time. Or a couple of times ago. I didn't update that. What are we sprinkling in? Maybe some sprinkles on the top of the cake?
What do you guys think? A couple grams of lore.
A couple grams? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
We're cutting out cuttings of grams on a mirror.
We're doing a line of lore.
Yep. Line of lore. Here we go. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. If you like what you hear and want to support the show, visit Podcast Evolved on Patreon. Oh, just Evolved now. For everything Evolved has to offer, visit evolvedhalo.com. This episode, we're debriefing the sequence mission from Halo Infinite. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
No turning back now, bitches. Mm-mm-mm. Now you have to finish the entire game all at once.
You gotta finish the fight. Last mission was the high-value targets, the one distress call, and the Easter eggs from the last section, the Reformation section of the game. So the weapon identified a smattering of high-value targets that needed to be dealt with while Master Chief was collecting the data necessary to complete the sequence, which we'll talk about today, to unlock the command spire. So Chief dealt with them and stole their stuff. Now, in the sequence, with their list of chores finally out of the way, our heroic trio travels to the four beacon locations that Weapon won't shut up about. Chief helps her gather all the data she needs, but something seems to be lurking in the shadows. Date of the game is May 28th, 2560. I am at 95 or 93% complete.
I'm 93%
through the game now because I've collected everything in this playthrough. And I have 5 extra Spartan cores, which is neat. And now we gotta go do some beacons. So we're gonna go do that. Those 4 yellow diamond thingies that are on your map that you've been ignoring this whole time. and the weapon wants us to go check out. So now we're gonna finally do that. So there are 4 different encounters associated with those 4 diamonds. The encounters are the same at each location, but the order that you do them gives you essentially like the little cutscene and piece of information unique to that, to the order, I guess. I think the other difference, the other thing that's the same is there are 4 audio logs, banished audio logs, archaeological findings, and I think they're just unlocked in order as well, if I remember correctly. So like the location of where it sits on the ground is consistent with the location of that beacon. But when you unlock it, they unlock an order, so 1, 2, 3, 4. So you don't get the final juicy one until the final beacon is done. So we'll cover those at the very end, but I think because the location encounters are the same, no matter the order, but the cutscenes are in order, we'll do the encounters first. So I'm just going to take us around the map. We'll kind of talk about the highlights of the encounters. Once we're done with that, then we'll go back and just talk about what the cutscenes were in order. Make sense? Everybody ready?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. So I kind of like starting. Well, I'll just go and order my notes. I started on the Southwest Beacon, so the one that's nearest Fob Hotel. And that one, this one, I decided to, you can do a couple different things. You can drive a Scorpion or a Warthog, or you can fly a Wasp around. And this is the one with the Hunters. They all kind of have a unique, you know, set of army and whatnot. So it's the ones that feature the Hunters. There are some Banshees. So if you have the Wasp, the Banshees will try to shoot you down. There are Hunters, lots of Grunts, there are Jackals. You know, there's a lot of enemies in all of these locations. There's an Elite Ultra I think he's just down there. And then there are a couple Phantoms that come and, drop off reinforcements. So the way that I did it is I decided to take the wasp kind of around. There's like a mountain that you have to you can clear around, take out the banshees, and then I just kind of hovered my wasp next to the beacon and peppered the hunters as much as possible until my wasp blew up. You know, taking out as many adds as I could. And then when I was finally on foot, it was only maybe like one hunter left and a handful of the adds. It's a cool little area, by the way. Like, this is, it's kind of like a little swampy area. It's hidden, it's tucked away. So I like the encounter. But definitely having, I felt like a wasp did better in this than a ground vehicle. I felt like the ground vehicle or with my Marines, I hadn't had as much success in the past. So having my wasp now, having everything unlocked, came in handy dandy for this one. Krista, I'll throw it over to you.
I cleared everyone out except for the hunters and the Elite Ultra, who just kept fucking hiding behind the corner of the building. It was really annoying.
Yeah.
But I kind of just sat on top of the tower and just kind of chucked things at them.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I had the, the heat wave.
Oh, I had nice.
That. That was great. I love killing hunters with that. It's great. And then I just kind of threw things and then bounced around until they all died. It was great.
Very nice. There is a. I did find a rocket launcher. There's a dead Marine. There's like this giant rock thing.
Yeah,
I used that in the middle, too. Or I guess it's kind of off to the side, and there was a dead Marine, so I grabbed that. That came in handy for the last hunter. But yeah, I really like the area. David, what are your thoughts?
This is cool. This is generally the last one I do because it's kind of the furthest way. Normally, I start at the one nearest the kind of the lake area. Mm-hmm. And because I think that might be the one nearest the spire. But anyway, today, this is pretty cool. I had a Razorback full of Marines. I drove to this one from the previous one, which was pretty fun. So the Razorback full of Marines, they all had crazy weapons, which was pretty fun. And then, of course, like when I got to the hunters, I tipped over the Warthog and everybody had to scatter. I was like, okay, brilliant. Good job, David. But that was kind of fun. Today was really fun, actually, taking this one in particular. I remember it because based on last episode's conversation, I was like, I was going to try the Pinpoint Needler because I never used it. And holy shit, the Pinpoint Needler. It wrecked those hunters. Like,
isn't
absolutely
it good?
Really?
Wrecked them. Yeah, no, I'm on normal. So take it with a grain of salt, guys. Mm-hmm. But like, full two clips into a hunter, just blew them up. It was crazy. It wasn't just going for their heads, it was going for their weak point in their back. So like, it just blew them to pieces. I was so surprised. Couldn't get over it.
That's good.
But other than that, it's cool. It's a great area. I love how it's like, there's like a hill in front of it and that's got like a couple of grunts and jackals on it, and you're approaching it and you think like you're kind of covered from the hunters, and you come around the corner and then they just wreck you because they're sitting there waiting at the two kind of entrances. I really like the layout of this. It's really fun. And I had a good time today. And then some bunch of my Marines died, and then like three random Marines are like in the woods in front of it. So like they're just hanging around and they just ran over and joined in. So it was pretty cool. It was a good little firefight I had going on today.
Very cool. All right, let's move on. The next one I did was the North Beacon. I'll call it the North Beacon. It is close to Juliet, or closest to Juliet Fob. And let's see, this one. Oh, okay. So what I ended up doing for this, so I'm taking it around in my order, but oh well. So I did the Southwest one first, and then I was like, this one's kind of close. I just want to see what happens if I hoof it. So I started heading towards it, me and Chief, and Chiefy Boy found a Razorback. So Chiefy Boy jumped in that Razorback and he started driving north, and he located some, you know, three Marines, and he said, hey, hop in, let's go. And then Chiefy Boy found a couple more Marines on the way up to the beacon, and I said, yo boys, we got some room, let's go. So they hopped in, and then I had a full Razorback, and we drove all the way up to the North Beacon, and we saw that there was like this bridge. We were kind of underneath it, and there was a bridge going up above, so I figured out the right path to get up there, and me and the boys went after the North Beacon together, and this is the beacon that has the ghosts.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, the ghosts. So there's lots of ghosts. And so it was actually handy to have all these Marines because we were able to pepper things from, you know, enemies from a distance. And there's a bunch of skirmishers floating around that are super annoying, and they all have shock rifles. So I was able to snipe them. Me and the boys took out this this beacon pretty quickly. It felt good. It felt really organic to, like, you know, just kind of go on foot. I'm not going to fast travel. I'm just going to get there. And we had everything we needed, and we made it happen. It was good. Chris, how did you do?
You know, whenever there's a ghost available, I just grab a ghost and murder everyone with said ghost. I had to switch ghosts every couple of times because they're really annoying. And then, of course, the brutes just hate me. Did you notice that the skirmishers just fucking get on top of your ghost and assault you? Yeah,
they start. I've I don't never know if that's new. That. They like start they punching grab. You.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's really annoying. That. You have to get out of your ghost and like wipe them off the windshield and then get back in. So that was interesting. But yeah, mostly this one wasn't very difficult for me. It was just kind of a lot of ducking and diving.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all four of them, I said it before, have quite a few enemies, so it feels like a good fight to get up there. And you do have to clear out everything before you can go and hit the button to activate the story stuff. Yeah, David, how'd you do?
I did pretty similar to Chris today, but I found I was getting EMP'd constantly. So I kind of got out of my ghost pretty quick and did things on foot. They were just constantly throwing grenades and constantly shock rifling whatever I was driving. So I honestly didn't get very far in the ghost. So like I just jumped out and then took the long route around to the side and just sniped a bunch of sniped the skirmishers essentially. And when they were down, I knew I was safe then. But yeah, it's pretty easy. It's probably my least favorite of the four, but there's nothing actually wrong with it. I love how different they are. Essentially, they're pretty cool.
There's like a little cave that you can go through too. It has a bunch of banished on the inside. It's off to the side, but it's like another route to get up to the beacon.
Yeah, that's how I originally came to this beacon, was on foot through that cave system, which was a pretty cool experience. But you don't have to go there. It's just totally optional around the area.
Exactly. Cool. You don't need to kill all the guys in there to unlock, which is nice. Okay, then from the north beacon, I went to the south beacon, which is kind of in the middle. Excuse me. And it's closest to Kilo, the FOB Kilo. And this is the one with the fucking race and the ghosts. And this one was way easier. I remember originally I took like a tank because I had that unlocked, or a warthog or something like that. And it didn't go great for me. And the tank's so slow. This time I took a wasp. It was way easier. I did a similar approach to the first beacon we talked about, where I just kind of hid behind the beacon, killed everybody that was up on the on top of the beacon, all those snipers, and then just peppered the wraiths. Eventually, the elites that were driving the wraith, like, got out. I don't know what that was all about, but they're just like, okay, we're good. We're going to go take this guy on foot. So I killed a bunch of them around, you know, the two elites that were driving the wraith, and then a bunch of adds. There was still a wraith in the distance. Then I went and hijacked the wraith and then used that to finish everybody else off.
That always feels good to hijack the wraith.
But it was just there. I mean, I guess I just, the keys were, you know, they were under the mat. I just grabbed them. Krista, how'd you do?
I kind of did the opposite of what you did. I went in there and I was like, how am I going to tackle this? There's a lot of shit going on. And then I died and then I was like, wait, I can literally just summon a tank whenever I want.
Uh-huh.
So I went back and summoned a tank, and then everyone died. It was great. Okay.
You just peppered them from a distance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. That works. I guess my problem with the tank is it's so slow, and if there's two wraiths just bombarding you, I was having trouble originally, I remember.
See, you do the front and back method. Cans. You just roll forward, and then you roll backwards, and you just keep doing that constantly, and you'll never get hit.
Yeah, right. Because you can see them, like, the mortar is just coming at you so slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done. David?
Did I do anything particularly special here? The south one... Oh, this is where I took I brought my Marines to this one. This is the, I drove from here to the other one, which was a big ass drive, but it was really fun. So I literally fast traveled into Kilo, loaded up Razorback, gave my guys Marines, purge rifle, arcane beam, rocket launcher, and a sniper and stuff like that. It was pretty great, and I just had a blast just driving, literally just driving my Razorback, just purging that EMPs, the rates, and then the rocket launcher. Just it was a beautiful combo. It was perfect.
Nice.
And it was super simple. I literally just drove around a couple of times, did that, blowing up. Right, this is today. This is today on normal. And my first time ever coming here, I came from the opposite direction, from up the cliff really high. So I sniped a bunch and then saw rates and I was like, oh crap. And I had nothing around me at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. So I had quite a difficult fight my very first time here with rates, because it's the first time in the game I think I was against rates.
Yeah, it might have been.
Which was fun. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess we didn't call that out. I think you're right. I don't think we've really seen any race. So, and you can't, can you hijack these race, or do you just, when you jump on them, you just punch them and throw a grenade inside of them? I think that's how it works, right? I think maybe that's how it always works, and I'm just misremembering.
Yes, you can hijack, you can punch them, and then you throw grenades eventually. You have to, break a thing.
Right.
You can also constantly punch and just kill the pilot without killing the machine, without doing the grenade. Yeah.
All right, let us cover the last one, the northeast one. I don't know. This is the one that you see, and essentially this is the one you're probably supposed to go to first. When you first kind of unlock the sequence mission, which we talked about a while ago, you look over your shoulder and see that one, that beam emitter. It's the closest to the command spire. And I also think this one's pretty cool. What I ended up doing, and I'm sure everybody does, is fast travels to FOB November. I ended up getting a tank and then just rolling that bad boy up the slope. There's this bridge that hangs over the little lake that's down below, and just climb that bitch slowly up and just pounded everything in my way. There was some drop pods that show up right around that bridge area. You keep climbing up, and there's more enemies. You keep climbing up. There's like a little space between some rocks that you can just get your scorpion through and just keep going. You can get the scorpion all the way up to the door eventually. You obviously want to keep a distance for a bit and just pepper all the banished that are up there. The enemies aren't too difficult. It's just kind of a lot of brutes, jackals, grunts, pretty much standard fare. I think there's a jump pack brute major kind of towards the top, but he's not that difficult. But like in terms of like the scenery and like the experience of rolling that tank up, I really enjoyed this one. Krista?
This one is on the big hill, right?
Big hill, yep.
Yeah, I just kind of walked up the hill and killed. This one isn't very difficult. I walked up the hill and started killing people, and then this banshee wouldn't leave me alone. So I took the banshee, and then I kept killing the people. This one's pretty easy, though. I found this one pretty simple.
Yeah, it's just, you just aim, shoot, hit heads, you're good to go. David, did you do anything fun with vehicles?
Oh, man, I love this one. This one's one of my favorites. I love... Yeah. The fighting up the hill of this one, it's really good to go on foot. I think you're doing this one wrong. I think if you come at it from the side or from the air, this one's really fun because you have to fight through a gap. So I always ram a warhog full of marines up through here, mm-hmm. On various difficulties. It has various levels of success. on the higher difficulties, you get murdered instantly. But it's pretty fun just to fight your way up this hill, kind of taking the hill against these enemies. Like Chris says, it's not incredibly difficult, but I just found the layout very fun. This kind of narrow gorge that you're mm-hmm. fighting up the hill. I love this whole little area, the little lake area, the base and stuff like that. I like all of it around here. It's pretty fun. And like fighting up the bridge, and the bridge has got like a roadblock on it full of like elites and stuff like that sitting around waiting, blocking that bridge and stuff. It's pretty cool. I like it a lot.
So each one of the beacons has a button you need to hit once you clear out all of the enemies. Oh, I wanted to just mention the beacons themselves. They're beam emitters. They've been referenced as beam emitters also in other games. Remember back to Halo CE, we saw that big beam emitter on the mission Halo. That's where you first meet kind of Johnson, and that's when what's our pilot's name that drops off your Warthog right away?
Foehammer.
She comes and drops that stuff. Off. So pretty iconic. I know.
It's one of the most iconic like buildings in Halo, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm on the beam emitter website or webpage on Halopedia, and it says explicitly, it says the exact function of these machines is unknown.
Yep.
They keep changing it. That's probably why.
Yeah. It says on installation 07, Zeta, the beam emitters serve as communication beacons, but they do other things on other rings. So they're cool looking for a lot of things.
They're just sci-fi buildings, you know? Yeah. They're just there to look cool, you know? Mm-hmm. Look, you're in a sci-fi world. This is a beam emitter. Wow.
Super neat. All right, so we clear out the banished, hit the button, you go down a ramp, you go around. There's going to be a audio log either in front of you at the bottom of the ramp, or when you go around, there's a room that you need to go into with a console, and finger roll the weapon onto it every time, or you don't plug her in, you just kind of like hand her onto it. So grab those audio logs. Each one will unlock some kind of interesting stuff that we'll talk about here at the end. And then you get the cutscenes in order. I'm going to hand it off to David to take us through these cutscenes. They get a little bit more interesting as they go. But the first one starts slow.
Yeah, these are good, actually, and they're actually pretty interesting. If you're like me and you had hours in between these ones, they'd be not hit as much. So mm-hmm. Today, anyway, going through and wrapping them up pretty quick. They flow really nice in with each other.
Yep.
So essentially, Cortana is going to these beacons to pull code, and she needs to build this code together to get open the door, essentially, to get into the main spire. So the first time she just does, I'm going to say I'm not particularly impressed with it, because like I'd like to see what she sees a bit, because she's just waving her arms around here, and it's not visually very interesting. I feel like they kind of missed a beat here. So anyway, she just says, you know, we need to get more samples. She thought it would be easier, essentially, but it isn't. And then she kind of has a weird feeling. She kind of looks over her shoulder and she's like, I just feel like somebody's watching me, maybe. And then she kind of just goes.
Yeah.
Like the Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
Real quick, before you go into the second one, there is some dialogue in between. So when you finish the first one, there is a conversation between the weapon and the pilot. Just talking about, like, family. Echo pops in and says, Chief, you got any family out there? He's like, nope. And he's like, okay. Well, what keeps you going? He's like, it's all I know. That may be the second one. Anyway, so there's that conversation. And then Echo, the pilot, also confesses that his family's dead, or I don't know how he knows that they're dead, but they're apparently
he just says not anymore. That's all.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because the game starts with him looking at that little hologram, hologram of his family.
But
he says he doesn't have any family here. So that means either he knows they're dead, assumes they're dead, or that was somebody else's family.
he just found the puck.
I mean, he stole everything. I mean, he could have. Who knows? All right, keep going.
Okay, so the second one, when you get there, the weapon does her same kind of thing. She's just like, this wasn't long. She flicks her arms around and like pulls this little data in. She's doing Reiki. I just realized that's what she's doing. She's doing Reiki healing to pull this cone in. She's cutting cords, flipping her arms around. One kind of gets stuck and she's kind of forcing herself to push it. There's like a yellow flash. She drops to her knees. Chief just kind of like whips his weapon around. Kind of useless, and he's kind of just looking for status, you know, what the hell's going on. She kind of wakes up and goes, somebody pushed back at her and then scanned her, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like we kind of know what's going on here. Obviously this is the Harbinger scanning, trying to figure out the weapon, because obviously she's very intrigued, and it all comes to a head pretty quickly if you move on to the next beacon pretty quick.
Yeah. So I think that is the third one where she falls underneath. Yeah.
There isn't a second one here.
The second one is just the one where she like looks over her shoulder and is like, I think somebody's watching me.
Well, then, is there a first one?
The first one's super quick. Yeah.
That's probably why it's not in
the... You squish the first two together. Yeah.
Apologies. First one.
Yeah, so, no, that's fine.
In the replay I'm watching, there isn't a one there.
Okay. The third one that we just talked about where she falls, she falls to the knees at the last one, right?
No, in the third one. The last one is when...
Okay, that's right. Okay, so the third one, she falls to her knees. There is a yellow thing that shows up.
Yeah, there's a yellow flash.
And are we led to believe, because like the Harbinger's Silex is yellow, that was the Harbinger?
That's what I thought, especially because the cutscene before this talks about how she figures out that the weapon exists and that she's intriguing and that she's looking into it. And so I very much got the impression that whatever she had done here, and it kind of comes to a head in the next scene where the weapon kind of explains, oh, she wants me to do this. She wants me to put the code back together to get into the door so she can also get into the door, into the spire.
It just gets a little confusing here because like she's looking, it's like somebody's watching her, and then you're picking up these audio logs where Despondent Pyre is talking. And you've seen Despondent Pyre, and Despondent Pyre's dead, and you know the Harbinger is also plugged into the Halo somehow. So like, you're not really sure. It's not super clear. And maybe it's supposed to be unclear.
I don't think so, because like I also thought my first playthrough, I was like, oh, what is this? Is this something else? Is this another AI? Something
completely different that you don't know about.
I was waiting for something else to be in the system and not just like the Harbinger.
That's what I thought originally, yeah.
Yeah. Third,
take us home to the last one, then.
Yeah, the last one, or the fourth one, I guess, is pretty quick and easy, but kind of sets up something very interesting that I think we've seen kind of John do before. So he kind of puts her in. She does her pulley scan. She's like, get ready. This might be a trap. And kind of nothing kind of happens. And she's like, oh, that was easy. Nothing kind of happened. But then she kind of figures out what it is, that it is a trap, essentially, because... A corner refers to her as, she's trying to find out what I am. Mm-hmm. So that sentence to me makes me think, okay, it's the Harbinger. And then it's trying, because right now they're at a deadlock where Chief can't get in and neither can she. So Chief is like, okay, we maintain the deadlock. Then we just don't break the deadlock. And then she can't get in and we save the day. But she's like, well, she'll get in eventually. It's just going to take more time. So what do I do? And John says, just do it. And then
John just says, we have no choice.
We have no choice. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to the first person view inside John's visor. And you see her going to do her thing. And then he's activating the deletion protocols, waiting to see what's going to happen. So this was kind of like, I was like, oh my God, this is cool. I think John had done this before. I think he prepped for this before. I can't remember.
Was something earlier on where, it was a thing.
Yeah. So his passcode is Red Flag, which is pretty dope because that's the first code word of the original mission for Halo Reach. Yes, it is. In Halo Reach. It's pretty cool. He's just prepping, essentially. And she says, sorry, nothing happened. Maybe I'm going crazy or I'm just paranoid. You say something? And he's like, no, it doesn't matter. Let's go.
which this is obviously like the files that she can't access that she complains about during the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty cool. That's kind of it. You just say, it's like, hey, we have what we need. Time to go.
Yep. Yeah. And then it's weird because they're both, I don't know, like she knows, I think, something else that she's not telling him. And he also is not telling her the truth either. So they're still at the point in their relationship where they don't really trust each other, which is different from what we're used to when Chief completely trusts his AI, Cortana, and she is obviously looking out for his best interest or humanity's best interest as well. But she also knows that he can do anything. So it's a different relationship, and we're still feeling each other out. Really, it's been the first day that they've met and hung out. So, Chris, do you have any thoughts about these four little cutscenes?
I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, right? I mean, there's not the biggest thing that comes out of these is the distrust that Master Chief has for the weapon, which has kind of been building to this, but now it's like, it's not subtle anymore. It's like hitting you over the head with it. Like, Master Chief does not trust the weapon, and he might kill her if he wants to.
So and that was her point. Like, remember she came on, she's like, oh, I should be dead. Why aren't I dead? So she almost was like enabled him to do that at the beginning, but then he found a reason to, you know, partner with her. But now he's at the point where he's like, maybe we should actually do that deleting thing.
Yeah, and this kind of opens in a huge dynamic for the rest of the story, too. So this is just setting up, like, kind of a couple events that are about to happen, which is super cool.
It got me real tense, like, first time around. I was like, holy shit, like, what's happening here?
Yeah, there's some interesting cinematography, too. There's a point, one of the scenes, I'm trying to find it in my notes, I'm not finding it, where I think she knows that somebody's looking at her. She's like, somebody's watching. Let's see. Yeah, so the second one. Chief is like, like looming over her, and like looking down at her. And I felt like that really hammered home that he is just being very cautious and almost like a micromanaging boss, right? He's like over her shoulder, like, what are you doing?
And we've seen this at a few different times, how John treats her. And I love how they play with it because they do a super good job of initially you think it's concern, but it's actually distrust. Mm-hmm. And like, it's such a great when that clicks and you see like, oh, John's not just being super cautious because he's worried about her. He's being super cautious because he's like, she could turn rogue in a second. He's ready to delete her. And I was like, this is the tenseness in this is so good.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right. So we now have, oh, wait, there was one other thing I just wanted to call out just so it was clear. She said, doesn't she explain what the Harbinger exactly is trying to do? So this is a trap. She's trying to find out what I am, trying to use me to break the deadlock, start the spires. My routines plus the monitors. That's what she says. Yeah. So she's trying. So the Harbinger is, again, that's the she. She is trying to, must be like capture or, I don't know, download or use the weapons. She says routines. As along with, so it's essentially the same thing that the weapon is doing, the Harbinger is also trying to do.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So now we go to the command spire where we first got stonewalled by, you know, when she was snapping and she didn't have any luck. And then that was the reason that we had to go do all of our chores and do the sequence. So now we got to go back there. When you go back, just take a wasp. It's way easier if you haven't unlocked the wasp, then you have to go through a barricade. When you get down there, the bridge that was, I guess, down folds up, and you do have to fight through the barricade and go hit a button to make the bridge go all the way across again. So, again, wasp is way easier. Do that. You fly over, and then there is some reinforcements that get dropped, some elites. There's an elite ultra that gets dropped, and he goes invisible, and he's super annoying. But if you have wasps, it's usually not too bad. So that's the final encounter, and then you go and hit the button from, you know, way back when we came over here, same exact button, and then the doors open. And we have essentially completed the sequence.
Now, guys, did you get this today? Because I'm looking at it on my screen, and it did not happen in my original playthrough. So they've added a warning. The game pauses, and a warning screen pops up and says, if you continue from this point on, you cannot backtrack.
Good.
Main story is completed. Yeah, brand new, but definitely never there before. I'm looking at it right now. When you walk in the door and try to go down the corridor,
good.
It tells you, if you want to go collect additional Spartan scores to upgrade your equipment, you should do that now before progressing. And the only option you have is okay. And when I hit A, I'm just in the corridor, doing whatever I want. I can go back outside and play the rest of the game. So I'm really glad they added that in.
Yes. That's not there originally. There.
No.
I played earlier this morning before they updated. We're now in season 2. And that wasn't there. So that was part of the update.
Just be today. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm going to say I'm the first person in the world to find that message. That's what I'm going to say right now.
Verified. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good addition. But so, yeah, like we've talked about, can't go back to upgrade or find stuff or do anything like that after this point. So point of no return.
And you can't bring any Marines with you, which is a big boo. Because I brought them up. They don't come in. They don't follow you down.
They don't deserve to see the ending of the game.
Yeah. That'd be amazing if you could bring one all the way
through. Oh, man. It'd be so dope if I could bring a full team of Marines and just try to keep them alive as long as I could into the game, into the end game.
So the last little bit of dialogue is, once you kill everybody, the weapon says, all clear, gives Chief a pat on the back, and then she opens the door, and she said, it worked. Obviously, I never doubted for a second, because she's all sarcastic. and then it says, she says, this structure under the ring itself is called the Nexus. So we're not going up like we did in the last one. We are going down.
I don't like when we go down in Halo games. It's usually not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, because when we go down, we find Flood?
Mostly, or other things.
So we are going down, and I am excited to find out what is down.
No.
Chief says, asks if the Harbinger's here, and the weapon says she is. And he goes, and Chief says, good, let's go say hello. And then we go down, and then we hit a button, and it loads the next mission, and then we can't turn back. The Nexus has begun, and we're there. So, yeah, so interesting, you know, we've never done anything like this in Halo as far as I guess earlier in the game we have, but nothing where, like, here's this open space, go do a bunch of stuff, and then do these things along the way, and then come back. I feel like it was
Halo
interesting.
From Halo CE.
Yeah, I guess the first mission, you could say that. Or the second mission. It's first game, second mission.
It's literally the same mission.
It's kind of like that. Yeah, that's a good point. I guess maybe a little bit of the Silent Cartographer, too. But that you did have to do in a certain order. This one's kind of open. Yeah, Halo. This just felt, obviously, it is bigger. So it was harder to compare the two. Plus, you get lost. There's so many other things to do along the way. I felt like that is the miss, though, like David mentioned. It's cool that they all, you know, the cutscenes happen in order and all that sort of stuff. But if there's been hours and hours between the cutscenes, it's not going to hit as much as they had hoped. All right, let us rate the mission really quick. David, sequence.
I'm pretty high on it because it's one of my favorites, and this is where I spent the majority of the game. So like, I have kind of a biased opinion on it that I did so much in this area, like I did all my collectibles and I had such a blast doing it. It's pure Halo. It's just four super unique handcrafted scenarios for you to kind of like fight in, do whatever you want. You can go back to the fobs, get whatever you want, equip, come in and fight. There's different layouts in different areas for different vehicles and weapons and stuff. It's so much fun. This might be my favorite mission in the game.
Okay.
It might be. So I'm going to go super high there, Colin. I'm going with a full fat 10.
Whoa!
Fat 10, baby.
Damn.
Because it might be. Just because of everything you can do in the game, you can do now. And you can tackle them any way you want. I guess it's not like incredibly interesting story-wise. It's like intriguing. So maybe 10's too high. But this is I think this might be my favorite mission in the game.
I'm at like an 8.
Yeah, I'm a little more down on it because, and I totally appreciate your love of it, David, because I think if this was Halo Infinite, like the start of it maybe, and you had to do something like this, I would be higher on it, but I've already done so many chores and explored a big open area, and and there are interesting encounters, but there's a big disconnect between like the typical linear mission. Like, I feel like they could have done it a little bit differently here. Like, I don't know exactly what the element would need to be. Maybe it's like you go to a sequence and then you unlock the lore, the story, but you also unlock an ability or something like that. Just to make it a little more meaningful. Or maybe, you know, at one beacon you are, I don't know, if you do something at this beacon, then maybe an outpost is no longer in commission or something. You know, I don't know. It's just something else, I think. There felt like there was too much space in between those story cutscenes. It just got a little too confusing.
Yeah, there's also nothing really to those story cutscenes either. So yeah, maybe, okay, I'll bring it down.
Okay, well, I was not trying to convince you to bring it down, but if you bring it
no,
down,
but I can't really give it that high because all your points are valid.
So I'm gonna go with a 7. I do like all the encounters, but it felt a little bit too vast, too spread out.
But you have a wasp.
You do have a wasp, but yeah, just a little too disconnected. Most of it is good inside of it, but okay. So 8. For Krista, 9 for David, 7 for me. I guess that averages to an 8, so it's still good.
Hey.
Still good. All right, let's do quickly the audio logs, the archaeological findings. These are the 4 logs that you find in all of the beacons. Despondent Pyre is talking a long time ago about the Endless.
The Flood are ended. The reintroduction phase has begun. Countless preserved species have been sent back to start lives anew. Halo was the Forerunner's terrible and ultimate solution to the parasite's relentless advance. Designed to destroy all sentient life, nothing was allowed to survive. And we were sure that nothing had. We were wrong. Something has been found. Something that should not exist, yet does. I believed that the Flood represented our ultimate test. Our greatest victory. Perhaps I was wrong in my assumptions. To my dismay, it seems we have a new problem. I must investigate more before I bring this to the attention of the Council. How could this have happened? How could we not know of this till now? Xalanin, a species previously uncatalogued. Xalanin, a problem that must be solved. Did my makers know of them? How could they have kept this from me? I have requested counsel. Soon, I will know how to proceed. There is to be a parley. A meeting. Highly unusual. I have moved Installation 07 into sufficient range of their homeworld. Delegates are en route. From both sides. A necessary contingency, considering these unique circumstances. The Council has also provided me with an additional and curious directive. We must understand the extent of what their kind can truly endure. There are facilities on this ring quite ideal for conducting such tests. It is time for the Silent Auditorium to serve purpose once more.
Okay, so the first three are kind of all the same. I guess the first two are kind of the same. She, of course, decides to make it confusing. She goes, "The Flood are ended." You're like, "Wait a minute, ended, endless, huh? What's going on?" So she's like comparing the Endless and the Flood, or this thing, I guess she doesn't know anything about, in the first two. And then she names Xalanin, which is the race of the Harbinger, in the third one, which are perhaps the Endless. And so she talks about that a little bit, like this new race that popped up and they had no clue after the rings were fired. And then in the last one, she talks about needing some consul from the remaining Forerunners, I guess, that are still around after the firing of the ring. And she had to move the entire ring to this home world of the Xalanin. And I'm assuming that all this time has passed and she didn't move it. So that's maybe this world that we were next to before that we're not next to anymore, perhaps. So it's interesting musings. But again, because of the way the mission is structured, when you're finding these, they're so spread out. It's hard to make any sense of them. I guess the last one does hit home the best. Because it is kind of all the information you really need to know before you continue the story. And maybe they did that on purpose. I don't know. David, what are your thoughts on them?
These are great. I wish there was 5 million more of them.
Yeah.
Because it really does fill in more of what you're gonna what you want to know, like what the Endless. And it's kind of like, it is a little bit like shoehorning the Endless into Forerunner lore. So essentially it just explains that this is a race that wasn't catalogued. The Forerunners are kind of afraid of them. They hold some kind of meeting, like you said, at the end, like a parlay between the crowd, but they have a directive to just fucking capture these people, take them and bring them into the Silent Auditorium to serve purpose once more, which sounds like it had a purpose previously. It was probably how they captured, or maybe it's where they turned things into Silexes. Maybe that's what it's, what that area is.
That's kind of what they're saying, I think.
Yeah. So I think this is what where they're essentially planning to betray this race straight off the bat. And this race is probably like meeting their first aliens for the first time or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, but it explains some motivations around the Harbinger and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's interesting that they more or less seem surprised that, oh, there's this race here that didn't die because of the halos. Weird. Okay, let's go hang out with them and see what they're all about. Krista, anything to add?
It's vague and interesting, like all Forerunner lore.
Yes. Very true. Okay, why don't we do the community quick, and we will get out of here.
Yeah!
Krista, I'll hand it to you first.
Yep, let me pull up the Discord. Hopefully they weren't bitches this time.
They were alright.
I know. Alright, Colin has asked us, what's the best weapon in Halo, and what's the best Halo in Halo Infinite? Yes. What's the best weapon in Halo Infinite? Question for Mission Debrief, Halo Infinite, the sequence episode.
I'll just note that weapon, so I didn't include an image on purpose, and I capitalized weapon on purpose. And nobody got it in Discord.
No, they're simple people, you know? They want to talk about boobs and butts.
That's right.
Then that should have been the answer. They would have gotten it right.
All right. Nonprofit organization says, until they remove it, the scorpion gun. Rest in peace. Matt says, black eye in my fists. It's a skull. DeZuto says, brown eye in Matt's fist. Let's see. Caliber says it's a tie between the sniper and the cinder shot. They're the main weapons that carry through the game. I love the sniper. It's fantastic. General Zad says the BR for me. The BR is fantastic as well. Jedi Spartan 38 says Scorpion Gun, RIP, or the Arcane Sentinel Beam. That's a good one. Postman Pat says the Plasma Pistol. Duh. All right. The nonprofit has also complained that there aren't more weapons in Halo 5 than they didn't bring in more of the weapons from Halo 5, like the saw. So,
yeah, we'd like to see the saw. We'll see it eventually, I think.
The pesky bird says T posing Master Chief. That's great. Reclaimer says upgraded sidekick is my go-to, and I love the sniper. We got a lot of BRs, of course, because it's good. And looks like that's about it. Thank you, guys. Oh my goodness, it wasn't terrible to go through.
No.
I love that.
A little bit. Kind of clean. But you didn't get it, guys. You didn't get it.
They didn't get the joke.
Maybe somebody on Facebook got it.
Got a good few comments on Facebook, so I'll go through them as quick as I can, guys. What's the best weapon in Halo Infinite? Question Mission Debrief. Halo Infinite, the sequence episode from Colin Perkins Adamant, April 26th, 10:48 p.m. Jimmy has the correct answer in the first answer. Well done, Jimmy John. It's the Razorback Marines and the Arcane Sentinel Beam combination. Armando says, two people having a beer can be better than any weapon or resolve any conflict than a weapon it can. Richard says, the sacrifice of Marines. Randy loves the Arcane Sentinel Beam and Sidekick on Lasso worked pretty good. That's pretty crazy. ASB is Supreme, Sidekick to finish. Kyle says one shot kill with the shock rifle. It's extremely satisfying. It is very good. Timothy Welch says the power button. Ian Francis says the friends we made along the way, which was a very popular answer. Well done, Ian. Wayne says the Breacher rifle. I love the power rifle. It's so good. I use it a lot, the Breacher battle rifle. Chris says, big fan of both Stalker rifles. Manny says, the answer, the Saw variant, once the weapon in DLC drops. 100%, Annie, that is the correct answer. I love that too. Dickie loves the Ravenger. Dave says, the weapons, positive outlook, and Chief's can-do attitude. So Dave, luckily you were close. Does he get a prize, Colin? We'll see. Alexander says the AR, now that it can actually register headshots. He thinks this version of the AR is the best one. Brad got it. He says the weapon.
Well, yeah, Brad.
Prize to Brad. Colin's going to send you some prizes.
Yep.
Who knows what
send
it is.
Send me your address. I'll ship something up.
Luke Edwards says the BR-75 Breacher. It's incredible. I love it too. Well done, Luke. Lucas says the preseason patch is the tank gun. Prost is the Arcane Sentinel Beam. Raise back full of Marines with them. Hell yeah. It's so good. Chris says the pilot's Kung Fu skills. 343 nerfed this before launch. Chuck Norris answers to him. Cameron says I really like the skewer. The skewer is pretty good. He's a massive answer there, Cameron. Oh yeah, okay, yes, pretty good. He's telling the story of acing a whole bunch of vehicles at one shot. That's pretty impressive. Well done, dude. Steve says the tank gun, and Justin says finally the BR, now and always 100% bias in effect. So thank you all, guys. Super. Absolutely. Responses in there, well done, and congratulations to Brad.
I think Facebook won that one. Way to go, Facebook.
Absolutely.
Facebook's superior community.
Damn it.
There we go.
That would do it for a debriefing of the sequence mission from Halo Infinite. On the next episode, we'll be debriefing Nexus.
Ooh.
No more returning. We're going forward. The rest of the game. Here we go. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. You can also support the show by visiting Evolved on Patreon. For everything Evolve has to offer, visit EvolvedHalo.com. Until next time, Evolve.
Evolved.